Welcome to the Sourcing Hero podcast, produced by UNA, a group purchasing organization that empowers sourcing heroes, and Art of Procurement, the world's largest procurement podcast network. I'm your host, Kelly Barner. The goal of the Sourcing Hero podcast is to capture the epic stories of people who are rising up and beating the odds to create exceptional value within procurement, directly from those heroes themselves. Scott Luton is the founder and CEO of Supply Chain Now, where he leads a dedicated team of people who give a digital voice to all the different roles working in supply chain. With over 15 years of experience in the end-to-end supply chain, his insights have appeared in major publications, including the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and CNN. Scott is a United States Air Force veteran and my co-host for Dial P for Procurement and This Week in Business History. So, hey, Scott, thank you for joining me today.
Hey, Kelly, great to be here. And I love creating content with you, so this should be fun.
Absolutely. Now, for the four people in the world that have not heard of you yet, at least within procurement and supply chain, can you tell everybody a little bit more about your current role?
Sure. So I am certainly winding down the road, that entrepreneurial journey that we talk a lot about, which I'm so glad that I got pushed out of the branch in the tree back in 2013. But Supply Chain Now is really a global digital media platform. It's what we're focused on every single day, growing and expanding. It really focuses on spotlighting global business, especially supply chain, because Kelly, as you know, we're big supply chain nerds here. But getting aside, you know, really focused on creating compelling, informative, and diverse content, you know, be it on people, which is one of our favorite topics, issues of the day, stories, tech, innovation, best practices, you name it. And truly leaning in and engaging our growing global community, and certainly, especially including their voice in our discussions. And then, you know, finally, I think when we talk about, when I stop and think about what I'm doing beyond the business side, which is important, and beyond the content creation side, which of course is a big part of the business, it's about making a difference, right? Finding those causes and those issues that you can help address and move the needle and give from what you have. And that's really important for what we do here.
Absolutely. And I know that all of the different programs on the Supply Chain Now platform are famous for telling both sort of the personal side of every story, and then as appropriate, you know, business stories and entrepreneurial stories and educational stories. And if there's any trademark that you have, other than nicknaming people, I actually hear from people all the time that they love the nicknames you give them. but you're famous for your lightning rounds. So this is actually a gift from me to all of the guests that have ever been on a Supply Chain Now interview and gotten sort of a quirky lightning round question. And you're all going to have to take my word for this. I did not tell Scott what these questions were in advance. So this is a little bit of comeuppance on the lightning round. Okay. Are you ready?
I am as ready as I can be because I have not seen them yet. And it's, you know, I'm a big planner, Kelly. So I'm losing my hair. It's coming out right now.
All right, well, we're gonna ease you in. First question, what are the best toppings on a pizza?
Oh, man. Well, I'm probably the most boring person you'll have this conversation with. But for me, if it's not like Chicago deep dish, and then you can about throw everything in there, if it's like regular pizza, it's pepperoni and jalapenos for me.
Oh, that's a good combination.
Yes.
So good answer there. All right, now we're going back in time. What was the best Halloween costume you ever wore as a kid?
Well, I'm going to leave the ones that could get me in trouble. I'll save those for a later day. But, you know, a big part of Halloween for us was getting that cheap costume at you know, your local discount retailer. It came with some kind of like plastic trash bag material that you'd climb into. And then, of course, that staple molded plastic face mask.
Oh, yeah, so, that you couldn't see through the eye holes of right. at all, and then you're running around in the dark.
Right. And so oftentimes, if you didn't choose a easily recognizable character. I bet I was asked on 3 or 4 different Halloweens as I was growing up, what character, who are you supposed to be? And that's not a question you want to get as a kid, but what He-Man, Knight Rider, Dukes of Hazzard, A-Team, GoBots and Transformers. I'm sure they all played a role here and there with our Halloweens as a kid.
If I didn't already know that you and I are the exact same age, I would know it based on that list of of pop culture references. Okay, the other thing I know about you that people may or may not know is that you're huge into music. What are a couple of songs that are at the top of your personal playlist?
Oh, man.
Or artists. Let's keep it simple.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I think you've got to constantly learn, and your music is a journey. And you know, early on, as in my younger days, of course, you discover all like the big popular singles that, you know, that are popular, you know, throughout the ages, right? Classic rock, alt rock, rap, you name it. But here, more recently, especially with Amanda, who's got a deep appreciation for music, I've gotten kind of those deeper tracks, which I think is a station on Sirius XM. And like Aretha Franklin, you know, I was so, I knew a lot of her well popular songs, mm-hmm. right? That were, that anyone could rattle off. But here recently we watched a National Geographic, biographical sketch of her journey. And it really opened my eyes to a lot of her music that was in my blind spot. In particular, don't laugh. Oh gosh, what is the tune? All right, I might have to come back to it. I play this song at least once a week, and it is called Rocksteady. Rocksteady by Aretha Franklin is one of my favorites, and it's one that unfortunately I'm ashamed to admit it is one that I recently became kind of aware of. So very eclectic music appreciation, very eclectic music journey. Aretha Franklin is one of those that I've listened to a lot too here lately.
That is an awesome answer. And who knows, it may actually just inform your answer to the last lightning round question. If you could have lunch with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, my granddad. No doubt. Easy.
And you know what? And there you go. You've officially survived my lightning round. But moving on a little bit now, this is an interesting conversation because I'm getting to kind of interview you via media about media. Given that your background is in end-to-end supply chain as a practitioner, how did you decide or how did you end up making the move from industry into a media coverage position?
Ooh, that's a great question as well. You know, so I've spent just around, you know, we don't say anything more than 2 decades in industry. That's like a rule of thumb here at Supply Chain Now. So, you know, I've spent close to 20 years across global supply chain in some aspect. You know, if I wasn't in the industry working at manufacturing organizations, yep. which really taught me a lot and helped shape my worldview, then I was kind of serving the supply chain industry. But probably, you know, I think about what really got me on my journey, to diving into, you know, creating a global digital media play is the industry associations, you know, back, you know, think 12, 14 years ago. And also, you know, I think it's important to note just how many volunteers make up just about every industry association, right? And so a big moment for me was as I took a regional role as a volunteer, there was like 30 chapters of this one association across the Southeast. You know, some of them in big cities, some of them in really small cities, but the common theme is no one, you know, how much time do you have as volunteers when you're, you know, full-time job, family Absolutely. Demands, you know? So once we identified this need for convenient content and help supplement their, each of these, you know, 36 chapters programming, we came up with the wildly creative idea of a monthly webinar series. Now don't laugh. Because it's not that creative, as you and I both know. However,
oh, but it was really, then.
maybe so. But you know, more important is it really met a need, right? These folks that couldn't offer a convenient way because they didn't maybe not had time to plan their own webinar or certainly plan a lunch or an in-person dinner meeting. All this was long before the pandemic. So it really met a need to inform, educate, make aware, and the networking that comes with the right webinars. And so we did that once a month for several years, and that gave way in May 2017, after doing that for, gosh, I don't know, 6 years or something, 5-6 years, to podcasting. And we did 8 podcasts in May in 2017, that whole year. I bet we did over 300 easy in 2020. Yeah. So, but it wasn't a hard shift. It was a concurrent, you know, we were in industry, we were leading recruiting firms, we were volunteering our time with professional associations. We happened to be creating content and digital media because of, you know, at the same time, because we really enjoyed it. And eventually you arrive at a turning at a kind of a fork in the road where, you know, you really identify this might be the reason why you're supposed to be here, Scott. This is your passion. This is what you love to do. You know, let's jump on it with both feet. And that's kind of what happened for me.
Well, and to this being your passion, I've gotten to work with you both on screen and off, and that has given me the opportunity to recognize the connections between the things that people see or hear when they're experiencing content and really the force that drives everything. And I think one of the most obvious examples of how that plays out that folks might be familiar with is this trademark of Supply Chain Now live streams and podcasts and the way you open everyone by humanizing the guests. Right. So typically people have some specific relevant role in industry, but you really open every show by allowing us to get to know the person. Why is spending that time so important to you? And how does it help you connect with your guests as well as helping the audience connect?
That is it's a great question. Very thought-provoking question. And you love a good question that starts with why, right? Because it really makes you think. So I guess we're, you know, in this day and age, I think the sheer humanity of our journey can really be overlooked and it can be really forgotten quickly and regularly, right? Especially in this information age, in this incredible and exhilarating, in many cases, technological age we live in, but the humanity aspect of this can be really forgotten, overlooked. So, you know, the fact that people still make global business happen remains an important North Star for me. And I think that's the zest of the industry, right? So as an interviewer, I've always thought it's really important for our audience to connect with our guests on that human level first, because, you know, amongst other things, it does help establish that critical context for the conversation to come. And, you know, I'm sure you and I are kindred spirits in that regard, because context is a very important thing that's often lost on many of the, you know, conversations and webinars and podcasts that you can have out there. So I think starting at that point and really level setting is really important. And, you know, frankly, and I might tell myself a little bit here, but it is what it is. I don't care nearly as much about that latest gadget or technology, despite how important it is, as much as I do. What really interests me is understanding where someone grew up and their inspiration for driving change, or those times when they had to pick themselves up by their bootstraps, or, you know, all the other human challenges. I think we learn a lot from those moments that aren't as related to their practitioner and the craft, and they're deeply, deeply relevant. So I think it's important to kind of plan for that and make sure we spend some time providing that important context.
No, I certainly agree with that. And having been both on screen and in the cheap seats, as you like to call them, you kind of see a mirror thing happening in the audience. You know, as you're getting to know the on-screen guests, people in the audience, regardless of what platform they're joining from, they're sharing where they're from. They're responding to where the person is from. They're throwing out their favorite recipe, right? So I think the audience has a way of bonding with you and with the guests. And to that point, when we joke about them being the cheap seats, but you and I, Scott, both know those are the best, most important seats in the house, right?
Right.
What are your thoughts about the power of social media, especially after this forced year of sort of virtual existence that we've all been forced to have? And why is the dynamic of a live audience so important to the content that Supply Chain Now creates?
I love the cheap seats. You know, whenever I can kind of get jump out of the live stream chair, so to speak, I love sitting in the comments and hearing it kind of with my Diet Coke and popcorn, because you can really, it's amazing just like on Twitter or other social media platforms, how you can create connections and further relationships and just enjoying each other's company. So I think it's really important. And from a, when I'm on the live stream, I think it's really important to keep it real and keep it genuine. And you know, it's part of me and part of how I'm geared to seek out those connections and really, you know, learn from these folks, regardless if I see their headshot on the screen in front of me or if I'm reading, you know, their latest comments. So, you know, one of my favorite aspects of social media, going back to the, you know, your first question is, you know, how it allows anyone to share what's on their mind, whether it's on a live stream or via other social channels. You know, that's very democratic, and I'm not going to take that word any further because you know it trips me up all the time. But it's very democratic, and I love that. I love anything that allows it, gives the people what they want and allows them to express themselves with as few speed bumps as possible. You know, and it allows, you know, the live streams and the cheap seats, as it were, it allows folks to connect with others. And as humans, you know, it's how I'm geared. But I think generally speaking, whether it's in digitally or in person, connecting with others is something we all need. You know, even Cruella De Vil, if I got that name right, and The Grinch.
You did, yes.
They've got it. They feel a need to connect with others. And then I think one of the reasons I love it so much, and it's one of my favorite parts of the live stream, is it allows us to learn from folks that we haven't been able to feature yet. You know, some of our favorite t-shirtisms that come out of these live streams are from the folks that drop something in the comments. So, you know, my favorite part, it's important to include and provide folks in these cheap seats or in our global community a voice, so that they can exhibit, you know, what they're thinking, what they know, where they've been, you know, best practice or a challenge. You know, a frank challenge is important, but all of this we're really speaking to is the heartbeat of our organization here at Supply Chain Now.
Absolutely. And I guess maybe last question specifically about Supply Chain Now and your approach to all this. One of the things that I think you've become somewhat famous for is your regular Friday good news posts. Typically they involve the farmers market, which, spoiler alert, folks, I did find out from a secret source that there's a wine truck. So just to be totally clear, it's not all like beets and radishes and goat soap. You know, there's other perks there as well. But we see pictures of pets. We see updates about kids. We hear good news. And then people naturally pour forth with their own good news and they join that and celebrate. What made you start down that road of sharing good news, and how has that routine influenced your outlook as you go through the week?
I love this question, and I love sharing good news. Always have since a kid. You know, Amanda, over the weekend, I guess as we're recording this, you know, we're coming off Father's Day weekend, as she shared on social, I'm not one to toot my own horn. And I've got a strong sensitivity around that, right? It's always been, you know, about others as much as I can really keep that in the front of my mind. It doesn't mean, you know, of course I'm proud, deeply proud about how our team has really challenged itself here to grow and succeed. But, you know, I get a ton of pleasure off celebrating what other fascinating people and organizations are doing to move us all forward, especially, I tell you, as we all know, in the last almost 2 years now, the demand for everything has taken off, including the demand and the need for good news.
Yeah.
You know, all here in this one big global community. So, you know, I don't have a standing definition of good news other than it's what makes me feel good right there in that moment. And sometimes, you know, some of those life lessons that I feel that even there, sometimes they're simple. They can serve as those powerful reminders of our calling, I believe, as leaders to serve others and to do good. And to and take real action in that regard.
And that actually ends up being a perfect transition to where we always bring these conversations around. This is called the Sourcing Hero podcast, right? And so we take these opportunities to celebrate heroism in all its forms and in all the places it's found. And truthfully, that means literally everywhere, in everyone, anytime, and you never have any notice that it's coming. But before we think about business heroes, I want to ask about the work that you do on behalf of veterans, because in my mind, and I believe you share this sentiment, they're real heroes. So tell everybody a little bit about the Veteran Voices podcast that you record, as well as the work you do with Vets to Industry.
I really appreciate this question. It's really important and a big part of our Give Forward aspect to our culture. And it's about taking action. You know, deeds, not words, which is part of our mantra here. And, you know, I got out in the Air Force in 2002. I was not a combat vet. I had a four-year degree. I had a strong support system, and I still struggled to find a job, right? I didn't have all those additional barriers. And that will always stick out, because we still, you know, 19 years later, veterans still have a huge challenge, oftentimes getting through that transition. And a lot of them do have those extra dynamics, you know, combat vets or dealing with other aspects that wasn't part of my service. So, you know, finding ways to give back and support and invest in that veteran community, you know, from the startup status that we are, at least from a resource constraint. So naturally, you know, I hope to be in position one day, Kelly. I know you and I both do, to write big old fat checks when we find someone or a cause that we can just invest in like that. Yeah. But right now, it's about giving from what you have. It's about, you know, we're probably 50 episodes deep in our Veteran Voices podcast, where we're really focused on uplifting veterans, uplifting their stories, sharing their experiences and their POV, which really, despite all the gains we've made, there's still lack of awareness in some of the things they experience, including how tough it can be to find not just a job, but one that really utilizes all of their skill sets and where they're, so they're not underemployed, which is still a big challenge. And we're really proud. Vets to Industry is a nonprofit that we've partnered with as part of the series. You know, Kelly, you talk about deeds, not words. I interviewed a gentleman and his wife and his, interviewed the parents, but this is a 5-person family. And in summer 2020, you know, at the height of the pandemic, they were out of a home. They got a couple things led to them being evicted. For 2 months, this veteran family lived basically in their car.
Wow.
And so as part of our interview, they really talked to me about how Vets to Industry and the founder, Brian Arrington, when he found out this family of five didn't have a place to live, they went to work. And they're really, a big part of their model is helping veterans and veteran families find the resources that are out there for a wide variety of needs, and making sure that they're aware, that awareness is there. Well, what do you know, after countless phone calls, a lot of hard work, Vets to Industry got this family back into an apartment based on one of the, you know, many, many resources they have access to. And that really, for me, you know, every challenge, thankfully, isn't about finding a home for veterans. It's jobs, it's network. I mean, it's a wide variety of things. But that really, for me, was like, okay, this is why we're doing this. There's a need out there. If we can play just our role in helping create that awareness around the need, hopefully, you know, we'll get the attention of some of those folks that either can write checks or lead big, powerful organizations that have tons of resources, or they're just another neighbor that can do a small little, you know, token of kindness to help our veterans. So I appreciate the question. I love, we're very passionate about giving back to this community, the veteran community. And vets2industry.org is a nonprofit, and that's vets, the numeral 2industry.org. And I can't speak enough about the good work they do.
And those stories, in truthfully every episode, because I've either worked through the transcript or listened to every single one of the conversations, and there's always a moment in each conversation where you get chills. And you either are shocked because of the reality of what you're hearing, or you're shocked because of the combination of what you're hearing and what this person is just saying is fact. Right? It's absolutely amazing what other people are dealing with. And it's inspirational to hear these stories because they are so real, right? And yet, as I said in the open of this segment, heroism means a lot of different things. And not every hero wears a cape. And not every hero ever finds themselves in the spotlight. And this is one of the things that you and the rest of the team at Supply Chain Now and Phil and I at Art of Procurement and Buyer's Meeting Point as well are coming together at the end of this year to host the 2021 Supply Chain and Procurement Awards, or the Skippies, right, to friends, the Skippies. So one of the awards that I happen to think is really important is called the Unsung Hero Award. Why is it so important to recognize people that don't typically find themselves in the spotlight, but are recognized by their peers, their colleagues, their network, their friends, as doing something really important that whatever kind of team that happens to be couldn't function without?
Recognition. Excuse me. Sorry. Let me get another drink of my coconut water here. Recognition is a powerful force that can move mountains. And when we think about all the folks that make global business happen and certainly global supply chain happen, you think about that that huge gap, huge lack of recognition. I mean, truck drivers, picker packers, planners, retail clerks, especially all the folks on the front lines, that absolutely, pandemic or not, they went to work. And they went to work to keep us all moving forward and protect our psyche. So I think as we were talking about, you know, kind of reinventing an awards program we've done for a couple of years with our, you know, good friends and partners like you and Phil and many others, how could we take that recognition and that awareness play and celebrating good news and put it on a global scale to truly not just, you know, focus on the Atlanta market or what we're doing here in the States and these wonderful people here in the States and organizations, but really globally, because I think it beyond how important recognizing these practitioners and people are, we also got to think about the awareness it creates for the generations coming up now, coming up through schools and colleges, and making them aware of just all the different ways you can contribute to global society by working in supply chain and procurement and of course, by extension, global business. So it's really important. We're investing a ton in the December event, but we're doing it with purpose and we're going to make it a home run on December 8th.
We absolutely are. And as we wind down our time together here, this is the easiest question. So if folks would like to connect with you, learn more about Supply Chain Now, find out about the awards, find out about the Veteran Voices podcast, what's the best way for folks to get in touch with you and learn more about the work that you're doing?
Well, I appreciate that. LinkedIn and supplychainnow.com. But Kelly, I got to surprise you because I got one more thing I got to share with you. Okay.
Are you going to sing? You going to sing Aretha Franklin for me?
Oh, boy. I think after a webinar and a couple of conversations today, my voice is straining. But I got to share. I want to wrap. This is one of my favorite examples of real good news here in the pandemic era. And I want to share this really quickly with you. So, hey, folks, connect with me on LinkedIn and certainly at supplychainnow.com. But I learned of this Mr. Henry Darby via the Today Show. And this is back. From February, I believe, of 2021. So he's a principal at North Charleston High School in North Charleston, South Carolina. He came across one of his students that were homeless. Kind of going back to earlier examples, sleeping in cars, under bridges. These folks didn't have the basic necessities during a pandemic. So guess what the Honorable Mr. Henry Darby did?
I can only imagine.
He went out and got a second job. So as if being a principal of a high school is not terribly challenging enough, which it is. God bless our dear educators and education professionals. He went and got a second job, didn't tell anybody, stocking shelves at night at the local Walmart, and he donated every dime of those paychecks to his students, and he never told anybody. So that in and of itself, we ought to have a day after a named for Mr. Henry Darby. But better yet, once Walmart found out, because he didn't tell anyone, they donated $50,000 to support his efforts for his students in need. And here, this is what he was quoted. Once, this hidden hero that, was selfless and didn't seek out any attention and did it for all the right reasons, He was asked about these divisive, polarizing times that we live in, which certainly is accurate. He had this to say. He said, quote, "I am an optimist, but I'm also a determinist. I know that it's going to get better. I know that these times will not always be with us. I know that my students will not always be in poverty. And I know that because that's where that's what we are. America makes it better for everybody," end quote. That is a hero in my book, Deeds Not Words. And if Mr. Henry Darby can do stuff like that while leading a high school, then we all can find a way to give back.
And amen to that. Thank you, Principal Darby. And actually, Scott, since you bring that up, anybody that is actually joining us for this episode of the show, go back. I can say this now because we're sort of time traveling. Go back and listen to the first episode, because we're actually joined by Dr. Dred Scott, the head of the Greater Kansas City Boys and Girls Club. And it is God's work that they are out there doing on behalf of people and communities. And every single one of us has some way that we can use our talents, use our expertise, use our time and energy and treasures in order to give back. I'm proud to have Principal Darby as a member of the supply chain, right? He counts as final mile putting those goods up on the shelves. So glad to have him in our ranks. We're going to officially count him as one of us. Scott, you're a good guy. I will share a pepperoni and jalapeno with you anytime. Thank you so much for joining us today for the podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sourcing Hero Podcast. Join us again next time for more true stories of sourcing and business heroism performed by your colleagues and peers. Look for the Sourcing Hero wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. Finally, don't forget, sourcing heroism is taking place all around us every day. Keep your eyes open and you're bound to see it. Until next time, I'm your host, Kelly Barner. Stay well and always remember that you can be a hero too.